This program is brought to you by Emory University.
This book report is brought to you by Emory Report.
So this takes place near the beginning of the book, and Dr. Samuelson has fallen in love with Emma Eckstein, and she seems to... He's not sure if she's interested in him, not interested in him, and just when he thinks she's not interested in him, he finds out she's invited him through the personal ads to come to a cafe the next day. And he goes there thinking that it's the time when they should declare their love for each other. And he's very nervous on the way there because he when he's running there because he's late, he realizes that maybe the anonymous note in the newspaper wasn't really for him. Maybe it's not really from her. It's addressed to a kindly oculist, a kindly eye doctor. So suddenly he's worried that, you know, there'll be many eye doctors there. But he opens the door and he says, "By the time I reached the cafe's door, I was in a state of nervous collapse. I knew what I would find inside. Kindly oculists, five to a table, each man looking at me in the same way I'd be looking at him, wondering, what the deuce is he doing there? But of course I found only Fräulein Eckstein, seated at a corner table, her elaborate hat peeking out from behind the corner of the newspaper. "Dr. Samuelson," she called, lowering the paper and squinting at me, "is that you?" "Ah, Fräulein, good afternoon," I said, approaching her table, relieved to be the only oculist in sight. "May I join you?" Oddly, this request seemed to have momentarily flustered her. "Oh," she said, before saying, "no, of course, certainly, please do, by all means." "You're not waiting for someone, are you?" I said. "No, I don't think so," she said, smiling oddly. I took the seat across from hers and thought to immediately make my amends. "You must forgive me, Fräulein. I've been irresponsible, and I've come to apologize for my abstruseness and to make good any expense you've gone to on my account." "Expense," she said, tilting her head to the side. "For the advertisements," I said. "The advertisements," she said. "In the newspaper, Fräulein." She laughed nervously. She shrugged as though embarrassed and smiled sweetly. "Forgive me, Dr. Samuelson, but I've no idea what you're talking about." I leaned back and gave her a hard look. We seemed to have switched roles in the scene we'd played out the night before at the Freud's. Perhaps this was all part of the velvety game of Viennese lovemaking, I told myself. Having arranged our assignation anonymously, we were required, I gathered, to continue the charade, pretending to have run into each other accidentally in order that it might appear so to the rest of the world. "Ah, never mind," I said with a knowing air. "I'm obviously mistaken." At this, the Fräulein seemed to relax. "In any case," she said, "it's nothing short of a miracle running into you like this." "A miracle, Fräulein," I said. "Yes, is there something I very much wanted to ask you?" "A question, Fräulein?" "No, a favor, really." She lowered her gaze. "Only I hope you won't think it too forward of me if..." "If what, Fräulein?" "No, I can't," she said, blushing. "You'll think ill of me, I know." "But I won't," I said. I promise." "You won't," she playfully took my hands. "Do you really mean that, Dr. Samuelson?" "I do, Fräulein." The touch of her fingers, even through the calfskin of her gloves, stirred me to my core. She took a deep breath. Her chin trembled. "May I make a confession to you, Dr. Samuelson?" I swallowed nervously. "A confession, Fräulein?" Things seemed to be proceeding more quickly than I'd anticipated. "That's a bold word," I said. "Yes, it is, isn't it?" she said. "It is a bold word." I was unnerved to find her staring so avidly into my eyes. May a woman stare so brazenly at a man and he not interpret it as a sexual provocation? However, drunk on her own liberated impulses, or mad with the desire... Or perhaps simply mad. What had Dr. Freud told me about her diagnosis? I struggled in vain to recall it. The Fräulein showed no signs of relenting, and it was I who finally looked away. Holding my hand and unwilling to surrender my attention, she lightly traced the lines of my palm with her finger. "Emma," I whispered, although too quietly I hoped for her to have heard me. "Dr. Samuelson," she said, "permit me to ask you a question." "A question, Fräulein?" a personal question, she said. Well, all right. She smiled shyly. Do you love anyone? I beg your pardon, Fräulein. Do I love anyone? She repeated. I opened my mouth to answer her, but no words sprang forth. Ha! Huh, so you must! She laughed, covering her mouth with her hands. Well, I murmured, there has been someone of late, I suppose. And who is she, if I may be so bold to inquire? Oh, but I haven't the courage to tell you that, my dear Fräulein. No, now don't be shy, she said, leaning forward on her elbows. We can share our secrets like girlfriends. Vexed, perhaps, at hearing herself describe me as a girlfriend, she corrected herself. Or like a brother and sister. Oh, you know what I mean. Sometimes a person loves another, but doesn't feel free to declare that love. Isn't that so, doctor? My stomach dropped. My vision narrowed. What had Dr. Freud told her? How much did she know about this last month, the month I'd spent pining for her? That's true, I said cautiously. Myself, for example, she said. Yourself, Fräulein? She sighed and, crossing her arms, sat back in her chair. There's no reason for you to know this. Her eyes followed someone walking across the room behind me, and she lowered her voice. But in the past... Yes, Fräulein? I've always been attracted to older men. To older men, Fräulein? But this was in the past, you say. Oh, she said, you know, with their dignified beards and their... She brought her fingers softly to her lips. How it must chafe to receive a kiss from a man with a beard. She blushed again and giggled. Although I must say your little beard, Dr. Samuelson. My little beard, Fräulein? It seems so soft and silky, yes. Kissing you would be... Yes, Fräulein? A lovely experience, I imagine. The conversation was getting away from us. An untamed horse whose reins we had dropped, it had broken free from the high road and was pulling us, exhilarated, into a forest of brackens and brambles. We must return to the high road immediately, I counseled myself, lest we be torn to shreds by this wild tangle of thorns. And yet, at the same time, no woman had ever spoken to me in so open a way. And the agony her voice occasioned in my person was not entirely unpleasant. An electrical storm sowed its turmoil in my breast. A siege of lightning laid claim to my undefended heart. A quiver of pain shot like flaming arrows through my central nervous system, spiraling down to the core of my lowest self, where its havoc aroused my concupiscence from its long winter slumbers. Fräulein Eckstein, I managed to say at last, may I be frank with you? The time had come to bare my breasts, to confess my feelings, to reveal the whole complicated mess I'd made of everything. Yes, it was time to throw myself upon her mercy, to declare my intentions, to risk all like a gambler on one fatal spin of the wheel. Although how much of a gamble was it when she had all but declared her love for me and my kissable little beard? I was hoping we might both be frank, she said breathlessly, and honest, completely. Oh, how we allow our lives to become so poisoned with untruths. Dr. Samuelson, don't you find that so? I know it, I said. I lie. I do, all the time. Why, I lie to everyone. No, the other day I lied to the milkman. I did. Did you order butter? He asked me, having failed to deliver it. And I said no, although in fact I had ordered it. Then let us agree to speak only the truth to each other, Dr. Samuelson, shall we? Fräulein, from now on, yes, the truth. Absolutely, agreed. And let us bare our breasts together. Metaphorically speaking, you mean, of course. Shall I go first, she said, or I? It doesn't matter. Let me, then, as you wish. In that case, she filled the bellows of her lungs with a fortifying breath, and her bosom lifted magnificently. I must tell you, Dr. Samuelson, that I'm in love. Ah, I knew it, I said. I couldn't help laughing. With, as she said this, the color in her cheeks rose. With, yes, I said. Oh, but can't you guess it, she said. I can, I said, but I must hear it from your own mouth. Very well, then. Let me declare it openly and honestly. I'm in love, Dr. Samuelson. I clapped my hands. Oh, Fräulein, with Sigmund Freud, she said. With, I said. Sigmund Freud, she says, as you and your wisdom have clearly intuited.
The preceding program is copyrighted by Emory University. Please visit us at emory.edu.